Doing what inspires you. A teacher went recently to a string teacher convention where she talked with many violin teachers, both new and experienced. Here are a few of her observations. 1. Many studio teachers still have problems with the basics of scheduling, policies, and being paid. 2. Everyone she met talked about wanting to teach their ideal student. 3. Everyone also had a different opinion on what the structure of their studio should look like. 4. Many think they have to be available to teach 24/7. 5. Many allow the students and their families to dictate the teacher's schedule, that is, the time and frequency of the lessons. She said that she saw general frustration all around. Instead, I see the poor business practices that result in this frustration. She averred that young teachers conduct their affairs so poorly because that is how they were taught. Really? Since when has modern society been teaching our children to be pushovers? If anything, people complain that our youth acts entitled. I don't think they were taught this way. In my view, the problem is that they weren't taught at all. In any case, this educator's, coach's, opinion is that you can go from one extreme in the list above to the other. From allowing others to dictate your teaching life to doing only what inspires you. And by doing so, she maintains that you may make some remarkable changes in a short time. Here I would agree with her. You could go from having a full studio to being practically unemployed. Yes, doing what inspires us is important. Dreaming about it can put us on the path to setting goals, achieving them, and being fulfilled as human beings. However, doing only what inspires us can also be unrealistic and set us on a path to disillusionment, disappointment, and unhappiness. How do we know which dreams and expectations will be useful to us and which will not? More specifically, how do young teachers navigate this uncertain terrain and find sure footing? There is what the Buddhists call the middle path. You don't have to make a choice between being an uptight, snooty, my way or the highway teacher, or, essentially, a doormat. You can choose to be something that they call in other lines of work, professional. Before you start visualizing your ideal student, ask yourself, do doctors ever talk about ideal patients? Do lawyers ever talk about ideal clients? Does a doctor ever point out someone on the street and say with pride, "You see that guy? I did his triple bypass and saved his life." Does an ethical lawyer brag about how many potential criminals he got out of trouble? Does a CPA have a testimonial on his wall certifying how many of his clients he saved from IRS audits? No. They may measure their success by how many people they have helped, but they never forget one principal tenet of surviving in this world. They are, just like any professional, running a business. You don't succeed in business, especially at the beginning, by deciding whom you will serve and whom you won't. You don't succeed by doing only what inspires you. You succeed by trying to do your job to the best of your ability, including dealing with all of its messier and more unpleasant aspects, and getting paid for it while maintaining your dignity both as a teacher and as a human being. For example, we can decide to make up lessons when perhaps others would not because, in certain cases, it's a good business decision. We may allow some parents to take advantage of us because we want what's best for their children and we know we can take care of ourselves. We may decide to forego our fees for someone who is difficult for the same reason, but it is our choice to do so. We can do this from a position of strength, not because we are weak or afraid, and we can make this very clear to our students and their parents. Besides, what professional doesn't have difficult discussions about getting paid? Some even use collection agencies. What professional doesn't have difficult clients? What professional doesn't have clients who don't follow their advice? And why should violin teachers expect that their business problems would or should be any different from any other professionals? There is also something dangerous about visualizing what you want. How do you know what's going to be good for your professional growth? Your idea of an ideal student could shift as you mature as a teacher. I have learned the most from the incredible variety of differences that exist among my students, situations that our training didn't prepare us for, from being physically to emotionally differently abled, from sheer cussedness to a lack of any spunk at all, from great talent and no desire to practice to great desire to play but little natural ability. I quickly learned that these are all ideal students, every single one of them. They have given me the opportunity to try to be an ideal teacher for all of them. I recognize now that this is a great privilege, and I am grateful. Buddhists have another saying, happiness lies in being happy with what you have. Let's face it, everyone's dream studio is to have lovely students who always practice as much as we think they should and make wonderful progress, whose parents always help their offspring, always pay us on time, never ask for makeup lessons, always come to group lessons, never miss a recital, and sing our praises to anyone who will listen. Are we going to get this? Probably not. So we can choose to be miserable because we don't feel realized, or we can find realization in what life presents to us. So stop trying to visualize the ideal student you want to have and start trying to figure out how you can be of service to people and make a living doing it. You're going to be a lot happier in the long run. Stop dreaming and start making good business decisions. And this brings me back to what they don't teach us, how to make good business decisions. Fine, that's not a conservatory's job or your private teacher's either. So what can you do? Get good business advice and be prepared to pay for it. Forget about the gurus telling you to visualize what you want so it will magically appear. Anyone who has a successful studio will tell you that it is the product of hard work, following good advice, and using a heavy dose of common sense. There are lots of business and marketing coaches out there who would love to help you, as well as lots of professional tech experts who will help you to set up a website. I'm reminded of the argument I had with my marketing expert techie who made me change the name of my website. He was right. There are all kinds of programs available for setting up payment schedules, too. There are also experts, teachers of great experience, who will help you learn how to attract clients. Yes, clients. You're a professional, remember? I'm thinking of one whom I know personally and professionally. If you would like her name, let me know and I will be happy to forward it to you. So, to sum up, here's my definition of an ideal client. Someone who is willing to pay me to teach their child, pays me on time, and tries to follow my advice. This last one is optional. I learned long ago that music lessons are never a waste of time for anyone, especially the teacher, because of how much we can learn from what we perceive to be our more difficult students and parents. I don't get frustrated if a parent doesn't do as I think they should. I remember what doctors do. They give advice, which is great if you take it, but they don't lose any sleep if you don't. They don't see themselves as thwarted if you don't take care of yourself, as they think you should. They see that you have a problem, not that you are one. And they try to help you while maintaining professional standards, which doesn't necessarily mean they're going to have a perfect professional life, but it will be a satisfying one. And so will yours if you get good, practical business advice, follow it, and take advantage of and enjoy the possibilities that your surroundings are offering you. Yes, you should try to do what inspires you. But inspiration can be found and nurtured in all aspects of your teaching career, not just by insisting on having things the way you think you want them. Meanwhile, spend some time and money learning how to run a profitable business. Inspiration won't find you. You have to look for it, as well as take it where you can find it, and then make fertile ground for it to flourish.